Okay, everybody here? Who's missing? I'm going to call the City of Franklin's Plan Commission to order. Mr. Fuchs, will you please take the roll?
Commissioner Micklick?
Here.
Commissioner Ritter?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Commissioner Dunnett?
Here.
Alderman Skronsky?
Excused.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here.
Please rise during the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You forgot the flags over there. Yeah. I've only done it for 42 years.
Where's the flag?
All right. I've been trying to get up my moves here. You have before you the approval of minutes, regular meeting Thursday, January 5th, 2012.
Move approval.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 3, public hearings. City of Franklin. Trying to do this without my glasses. Location, extension, termination of public necessity of public acquisition of property for the construction of a trail on the west side of South 51st Street from a point 1,075 feet north of West Rosset Avenue to West Princeton Drive. Mr. Dino.
Mr. Bennett will be able to give a presentation on this matter. This is 51st Street. There is a plan to put sidewalks along a portion of both sides of 51st north of Rosset. However, to do the portion on the west side of 51st, they want to acquire some right-of-way. And Mr. Bennett's going to give the presentation.
Mr. Bennett.
Mr. Mayor. The state statutes require the city for acquiring property to send the acquisition to the Board of Public Works for review of the legal descriptions and send it to the Plan Commission for a determination of necessity. What we have before us tonight is extension of a sidewalk, and the only area we need right away is on the west side, so the east side is, as far as the Plan Commission is concerned, is not part of the project. But we need to acquire right away from two parcels, one from St. Paul's Lutheran Church and a strip taking from the second parcel. We had discussion again at the Trails Committee just earlier, and I think everybody's in agreement that we will stop the sidewalk at Princeton and do this piece. But tonight it's to obtain a sidewalk right away for a sidewalk or a trail. We don't have a definition of a trail and a sidewalk in our code. I think from a legal definition, with the state statutes, anything that parallels a street and the street right-of-way is going to be a sidewalk, and they refer to there's certain specifications, certain requirements the city has to keep sidewalks clear or to see the property clear. And we do that on a regular basis. But anyway, what's planned is an 8-foot wide multi-purpose trail off with a terrace between the roadway, a green area, part of this is a ditch, between the sidewalk and the trail. We need right-of-way by the school and by the one parcel. The rest of the area, except where we're not placing the trail right now, between Princeton and Harvard, we have all the right-of-way that was dedicated one of the subdivisions. And one of the advantages of this trail is that this trail then can serve the area on the west side and Princeton Estates, two Princeton subdivisions, come out on Princeton Drive, be able to take the sidewalk down to the existing sidewalk, which starts at the south line of St. Paul's Church. And this sidewalk was built when we reconstructed portion of 51st Street, primarily have done for the setbacks opening. Recommending that instead of
which we had basically in the budget. We had sidewalk all the way up to Harvard Drive. To use this section to put a piece of sidewalk in to continue the existing sidewalk up to Xavier Inn, and then that will be able to serve the homes and be able to allow pedestrians to walk down to Rawson Avenue to get to the shopping center. And we do have in the budget, at least next year, within the next 2 years, funds for extending sidewalk on the east side of 51st Street down to Clara Meadows where the sidewalk stops, which will then make continuity down Drexel Avenue, down to the high school, and down to connect to the Oakwood Trail. Also, getting down to Rawson Avenue has sidewalk that will connect to the Oakwood Trail. So, the action is basically to determine that there is a necessity for this. The process is that we will send them letters. I send out, have to send the rights to the property owners, have to tell them what their rights are relative to eminent domain. We do try to negotiate so we don't start off with take it or leave it type of thing. We have an appraisal made. Council approves the offering price. We offer that to the property owner. The property owner can accept that. We usually offer them that if they don't have a second appraisal, we'll offer an additional $2,000 because they have a right of a second appraisal that the city has to pay for. And that if they don't use it, we'll pay them for it. Because we have to pay the appraisal company for the second appraisal. They have a right for that. And then once the second appraisal, then we can negotiate between the two prices. We have hired a single source. To do our appraisals and negotiations, and they have done a very good job for the city in the past. So what we're looking for tonight is basically an approval of the necessity for this as the requirement of the state.
City attorney?
Actually, the task before the Planning Commission per statute is to determine the location and extension of this public improvement, which in this case happens to be a sidewalk, and the practice in addition to that is to include a copy of the resolution describing the Plan Commission action accordingly, but primarily is the determination of necessity, which is the task before the Common Council. And as a matter of practice, Plan Commission previously, in addition to determining the location and extension, has recommended approval of.
Okay. I normally don't do this, but we have two aldermen in the audience, Alderman Schmidt and Alderman Solomon, both of which have been totally immersed in this project and have had to talk to many, many, many of their constituents and have gone to public hearings. So I'd really like to hear from Alderman Schmidt and Alderman Solomon. So is there a motion to suspend the regular order of business to allow Alderman Schmidt and Alderman Solomon to give some testimony?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I say aye. Motion carries. Alderman Schmidt, you're the alderman of the district. It seems to me that you may have brought this to my attention a couple of times. 400 or 500.
Oh, thank you for the... need me to identify myself, Alderman Doug Schmidt, 5th District.
Don't try singing any Frank Sinatra songs.
No. This has been a long, winding journey. This is like my third meeting on this issue this week. Having just gone through this with the Trails Committee and expressing my concerns when we had originally approved in the budget to have this trail extending up to Harvard Drive, with myself and Alderman Wilhelm both in approval of that project, and then it got brought back to us with a suggestion that we take that upper portion and move it to the east side. I did receive a lot of response from the residents of Princeton Estates issuing their concerns because they were worried that they were going to lose their sidewalk or trail completely. but they did agree that it would be okay as long as it got up to Princeton Drive, that they were still connected, that they would be satisfied with it. Now, another issue came up to us tonight at Public Works when we were bringing up the issue of trying to acquire these, move ahead with the right-of-ways. And there were a couple of commissioners that were adamantly against it because they did not see any value in putting a sidewalk on the east side. And I said, well, this is not the issue that we're addressing right now anyhow, because we need to have the engineering department move ahead to acquire the right-of-way. So we did get it passed by a vote of 5-2 so that the engineering can pursue the right-of-way on the west side properties. And after having this discussion tonight with the Trails Committee, I think everyone's main concern is to make sure that this project gets done this year. And so if it apparently is okay with the residents of Princeton Estates, then I'm okay with it that we can get the trail done on the west side up to Princeton Drive and allow for the sidewalk on the east side. Obviously, there is a definition of terms, too, because it will be a trail on the west side as opposed to a sidewalk on the east side.
So are you, you're in support of the motion? That's
yes, I will support it.
Thank you. Alderman Solomon? Member of the Trails Committee and senior liaison to the Parks Commission.
Well, by moving that one little section from Harbor Drive to Princeton Drive, eliminating that, we were able to, if you look at the length here, same dollars, and then this piece that we're going to connect here feeds this whole neighborhood by the interior streets. And the only, there's going to be, by not taking it all the way to Harvard Drive, we're going to inconvenience one house, two houses, because all of these other people on Princeton Drive can come down here and get to the sidewalk internally within their subdivision. So then they're not out on 51st Street. That was the logic behind it. It makes a lot of sense. I want to thank Jack for bringing this forward. And we're looking, hopefully, for your approval.
Okay. Is there a motion to return to regular order of business?
No.
Is there a second?
Second.
I move second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you, Alderman. All right. Chairman of the Trails Committee, Dave Fowler.
Thank you, Mayor. The Trails Committee did vote unanimously to support the trail proposal as brought forward by the engineering department and presented to the Trails Committee tonight by Jack Bennett. And we're in complete support of that.
Would you support a motion to approve the trail construction extension location for the construction of a trail on the west side South 51st Street from a point 1,075 feet north of West Rawson Avenue to West Princeton Drive pursuant to the right-of-way plat presented to the Commission on January 19, 2012 and to recommend approval of a resolution determining the necessity of the public acquisition of the property within the right-of-way plat for the construction of a trail on the west side of South 51st Street from a point 1,075 feet north of West Rawson Avenue to West Princeton Drive.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion?
Just a couple points, Mayor, that I'd just like to make. On the map, as you see, if I can go over and point this out to the rest of the Planning Commission, the Trails Committee would like to request that the consideration for on the north side of Berkshire and on the south side of Xavier, I think this is Xavier Avenue, I have that correct yet?
Yeah, but not Berkshire,
Princeton, I'm sorry, I'm looking the wrong one, sorry, Princeton. The north side of Princeton, south side of Xavier, that we consider painted busing walks across 51st Street as part of that, and also to consider in the future that the city will complete this at some point going north, if Greendale or we act on our own, or we act in concert with the village community.
Okay. All right, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. That was simple. I think in the long run, I think all of the hard work and everything is going to be very beneficial to all the people in that area. So.
We could bring some of a six-pack of that James beer in.
Where did that go?
Well,
can celebrate for the CDA. And,
okay, item 3B, South 27th Street Corridor, Wisconsin Department of Transportation, U.S. 241 construction project at South 27th Street Corridor Streetscape Plan. You should have had a memorandum in front of you that Mr. Wasilowski will talk to you about. It's from Brian Sajak, Assistant City Attorney. There was a meeting that took place
about a month ago, Jack,
with members from Oak Creek and Franklin, steering committee members, new members of Ford Franklin. Alderman Taylor was there. Trying to think who else was in attendance. Jack was there. Craig Haskins? No. Brian Sajak was there. As you know, I was whining about not being able to wrap my arms around the 27th Street Corridor project, and there would come a day where we would need to give some decisions, where the DOT would need decisions, and the decisions that they would want to know about. I had some very, very high price tags attached to them. I asked that the plan commission be appraised of the decisions that were made by the steering committee that will come forward as recommendations to hopefully the plan commission and to the two common councils. And it is these are open meetings. It's public records, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to turn this over to Jack in just a moment, but I think what you'll see very quickly is that the original plans that were put forward some years back about the great scheme for 27th Street has been rolled back considerably, but it has more to do with the DOT. Restricting the number of things that can or cannot happen, the width of streets, the sidewalks, etc. And again, Jack Bennett can go into much, much more detail about that than I can. But I can say, for the first time since I've been the mayor here, that in 8 years, that I have somewhat of a comfort level now that some decisions, major decisions by the steering committees have been made and recommendations are moving forward. And so I think we've got a handle on it. Now, I also want to bring forward, this is political, but it's reality. The gentleman that I was working with for all these years was Dick Bolander. And all the meetings we had, Dick Bolander was an integral part of every one of those meetings. There's an election going on in Oak Creek that all of you are aware of. I know all of the candidates that are running. I know most of the aldermen that are running over there. But nonetheless, there hasn't been any discussion, and I sincerely doubt there's going to be any real meaningful dialogue until April year regarding this issue. I raised that because I think the DOT wanted some decisions in February. Right?
Yes.
So now, here's some good news. Jerry Peterson, who is the city administrator over there, I've also worked with him on many things with the ICC. We're sitting on the Shared Services Committee. I don't know the man for a long period of time, but from what I've seen, I'm very impressed with Mr. Peterson. And I think that we're going to get some answers. It's not going to go around in a circle. We're going to get some answers as to what we, the two communities, are going to do or not do regarding that corridor. And they said in February, I believe the DOT wanted us to come back with the right-of-way. But that kicks off or that triggers all these other decisions. And correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the things that was discussed in the past was putting things in the median, statues or ornamental structures or things like that. I think you can have some items, but they would really prefer not to have things in the median. So if we are going to do things, we're going to have like an umbrella, like a overlay for the 27th Street corridor. I think some other things that came out of all these meetings is that given that it's 6 miles of corridor, given that you're probably going through like 8 different types of neighborhoods, that one size doesn't fit all, and that there may be things for the area from College to Rawson that are a fit. In fact, we already have sidewalk in there. We have curb, gutter. See, I was awake there. So, but when you start getting into Rawson, Drexel, just looking at the Northwestern Mutual campus, just think of trying to put a sidewalk through that wetland that's right in front of NML and how, I guess, ridiculous that might look. So that might have to take another plan or maybe shape differently. For our side of the road, there are neighborhoods that come right up to 27th Street. Now, do you want to have waterfalls and hanging gardens and 5-foot cobblestone sidewalks along there? Maybe not, but maybe what you want to do is you want to have an overlay that you get the right-of-way, purchase the right-of-way, so that later on, 10, 15, 20 years from now, you can go back and you can put those things in, those amenities. And then you get down to the Buckhorn and the Staybridge Suites, and those are different types of neighborhoods. In fact, I think, it's going from recollection, but I think right in front of Staybridge Suites, isn't there a wetland right there? A pond or something? And then you get to Wheaton Franciscan. Wheaton Franciscan really has a whole different flavor to it. And you go a little bit further and you're on Elm Road. That's got a whole different flavor to it. So, I think what has been achieved is to look at the 6 mile corridor is different areas. Just like in Milwaukee, you have the St. Mary's area around Farwell, then you have the historic Third Ward, and you have different parts. They're all within the city. You have a master plan for the city, but they're different neighborhoods. So I'm pretty encouraged with what's happened, at least from our side of the table. And this is what's coming in front of you. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Wasilowski, and then she'll hear from Jack Bennett as well. And this is, I think they're looking for a joint meeting between the two councils as soon as possible. Now, these recommendations haven't even made it to the Franklin County Council. They're all tied with huge numbers. Mr. Wasilowski.
I'm going to try and give you a real brief summary here, and I apologize for a handout with all kinds of technical detail at the last minute. It's only a 6 mile project.
Yeah.
In any event, this was a late add-on to the Plan Commission, and then apparently there was some misunderstanding between departments as to what to do with the report. So I yelled a little bit a couple of days ago, and that's this got here. Here's my understanding, and I haven't touched this subject matter since probably October, September. But here's my understanding. Remember that back in 2008, Joint Council had reached some plan with the assistance of HMTB. I understand that HMTB is again preparing this updated version, which at least I kind of yelled over the email that it better be ready for next Tuesday council meeting because I'm indirectly hearing about time limits coming up. And today I heard hearsay from HMTB that HMTB is saying that time is not an issue right now, that it's not an absolute hurry up, and I said hurry up anyway. And I'm assuming that message got transmitted. And then I received this around 4 o'clock on top of the 14 piles on my desk and said I'm not reading it. All the details, and I'm going to hand this out at a plan commission. And while we have very intelligent people on the plan commission, we're not going to read 53 exhibits with little numbers of large totals inside of the plan commission format. So here's my understanding, and Mr. Bennett was at these meetings, and I thought Mr. Dito was there, but apparently not. Back in 2008, the Joint Council's program had all of these items based upon the streetscape workups, starting all the way with Shredder Anderson, all the way through the consult assistance with HMTB at that time for benches to certain width of street, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, pathways, sidewalks. So in any event, the back then, which is a couple of 3 years ago, which is another reason to get this to the council and also plan commission in advance of meetings, because there's a lot of substance here and it's been a while. The total project cost, Mr. Sadak's memo here, the end of the second paragraph, says the cost per mile for Franklin was between 1.44 and 1.65. And then it says but it doesn't include cost of potentially buried utilities, final design cost, contingency cost, which would be an estimated additional $4 million. So I asked the simple question, okay, so is it 1.4 or 5.4, but, and the simple answer is this. Burying utilities, roughly, these are very rough estimates, it's an approximate 1.1 mile, I guess, and a little bit then some for burying, is about $3 million. So when you're looking at 1.44 and 1.65 on the prior, here's our tentative decision by Oak Creek and the same by Franklin, with design costs and contingency costs, which are the normal cost of doing business for whatever was decided, the actual costs based upon those couple of 3 year ago decisions was about $2.4 to $2.6 million. Okay? Now, through this latest meeting of the 27th Street Steering Committee and their recommendation, which is going to be going to both common councils, the per mile cost instead of 2.4 to 2.6 total, not including burying utilities, would be 1.18, so let's call it 1.2 million. So the cost is basically after more than this decision a few years ago. So then, since I'm not very intelligent, I ask the next simple question, okay, why is the cost half? And the answer to me was there are four primary improvements that were in the couple of 3 year ago joint decision by the common councils, which are no longer being recommended by the 27th Street Steering Committee with the assistance of HMTB. Number one, it's a reduction, and these are all in this memo and with the referenced exhibits by exhibit number. Number one, reducing the width of the multi-use paths along the roadway. Number two, and there's technical terms in this memo, but there were streetlights and lights for the sidewalks or the pathways. The sidewalk lights were deleted. Number three, no rain gardens.
Wasn't that a DOT? The DOT said no rain gardens?
No, that we got no credit for the rain gardens or environmental.
Okay.
Pardon? I'll shut up. Go ahead.
And number four, no overhead sign bridges. And so in a nutshell, I'm understanding that's today's world that's recommended by the steering committee versus the original preliminary joint common council decision.
But the burying of the cables, it's not included, but I thought the recommendation was, yes, we should bury the cables. And the cables is $4 million. That's just for $3 million. That's just for that area, that's just for that section from College to Drexel. The total cost is about $10 million to bury the cables.
So they want to bury them all the way. Can I maybe just add a little bit to what Jesse said? You know, I think when we first started out, when Ted Grinches was kind of the mover and shaker of the committee, we really had a grandiose project. And it seemed that the state was willing to go along with it at the time. Peter Schaefer was our contact. She was very cooperative. And as we started moving through the process, we found more and more that the state wasn't going to allow us to do a number of things that we thought. First of all, the speed limit changes just north of Northwestern Mutual. And we tried to get the speed change moved down to Drexel Avenue, and the state wouldn't hear about it. Now, why does this make a difference? Because of the clear zone. When you start going 40 miles an hour, you can't start putting anything in the median. It all has to be breakaway, just because of the speeds. The curb and gutter can't be vertical face curb and gutter. It has to be mountable curb and gutter because at higher speeds, they don't want the traffic thrown back into the roadway. So that's all federal and state regulations. So the whole project kind of changes when the speed limit changes. And we ask a number of times, could they move the street's speed limit down to Drexel Avenue change, and they wouldn't do that. So over time, we wanted one thing was these nice bridges that for signals, and you could build the signals into these bridges, and you could put identification and all on that. Finally, the state said, no, we're going to use, not only are they not going to use bridges, they're going to use these big, monstrous cantilever poles. Now the federal regulations are you must have a signal in the center of each lane of traffic. And as you see everything built now, like on Loomis Road, the signal is in the line of traffic. You can't have it to the side. So that requires these big, enormous, ugly-looking cantilever pole. So, that was knocked out. I think the city basically said, as far as the streetlights, we can backlight with regular streetlights. We can light the sidewalk. I think this was kind of Jim Reinert's idea of something really nice, and it probably would be if he had kind of unlimited supply, put another little light back for the sidewalk. So all this has reduced the cost. I'm not sure where, I think the underground cost came from HNTB. I have written a letter jointly to Wisconsin Electric, AT&T, and Time Warner to come back to us with a cost estimate, a detailed cost estimate for underground. Because it does seem, when the committee talked about this, at least our committee, felt that the most important thing of all was to get the all the utilities underground. And then some of these signs, because of the clear zone, you know, we had to minimize some of the signing and all. So the project started out like this, and I think we're in like that. But I think it's still a good, viable project. And if we really, you know, if the council wants to do this, I think we're down to the point where now we can do it. And we will get some funds from the federal government. There can be the amenities that you can add to a project, and a certain percentage of the amenities can be of the project. So some of this will be funded by the federal government. The sidewalk and the street lighting, sidewalk is 80% funded by the federal government. Street lighting is 50% funded by the federal government. So we don't have to pay for everything.
TIF district.
And can be a TIF district. So I wouldn't maybe at this time look so much at the cost, but I think we want to keep the cost reasonable, but how we're going to pay for it really hasn't been decided. I think probably the only thing that I've heard is it's not going to come out of the general tax fund. So anyway, the project was like this, and now it's narrowed down because there are just a lot of things we can't do.
On that subject, what's crucial to understand here is that there has been no dollars budgeted for this, either from either Oak Creek or the city of Franklin. There's not a single penny that's been budgeted in the 2012 Franklin budget.
And
so the aldermen, et cetera, less the money from the feds in the state, they would have to, in essence, put those new dollars into the budget.
And the project is not planned until 2016. The only criteria is that needs to be done reasonably fast is if we need any right-of-way, any additional right. Now, unfortunately, for some reason, 27th Street, they had 80-foot half-width, 160-foot right-of-way. You look at Rawson as a normal 120, 130-foot right-of-way. So fortunately, a lot of the right-of-way has been acquired, and they don't think they're going to need much right-of-way except at the intersections, because then you got your dual left turns and whatever at the intersection. So the only thing the state really needs from us is, do we need any additional right-of-way? And I guess from my discussions with HNTB, it doesn't look like we are. And some of these screenings that we're going to put in just don't work, because Kentucky Fried Chicken, there's just no room to put anything. In fact, they're having a hard time even not taking enough right-of-way. They're really trying to limit the right-of-way they're taking and squeezing things in, because if they put much more right-of-way, they're going to take parking away, and they'll have to buy Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's on the corner of Ross or College and 27th Street. So I think we'll just live with what we got, and that does relieve the pressure of timing. So, you know, I think if we got to wait for a new mayor of Oak Creek, or even wait till after the April elections, whatever, I think you've got plenty of time now for most of these things.
Well, the only the decisions that need to be made are from College to Drexel.
That's correct. Yeah. Beyond that, it's probably 15 or 20 years.
But when you start to lay it out, of course, probably I think it'd be wise to have some sort of an overlay for the entire project, so you don't have this hodgepodge 20 years down the road. Far end looks completely different than the other end. So, Randy?
Yeah, my question was going to be about the route cover, talking about cost per mile. There, along the way, I had picked up the notion that some of this was going to be reconstruction, some of it was going to be resurfacing. And so, yeah, earlier we were talking about the whole 6 miles. Now, apparently, we're talking less than three, I guess. We're only talking about College Drexel at this point. So that's when we're talking about these costs per mile here, is that, and the additional $4 million, again, are those just College to Drexel?
And I guess the other thing that we see here is that the two communities, came to consensus and made motions to the effect of solid recommendations. So we're off the dime. The the discussion and the decision making about Creative take place.
Whether it ends up hodgepodge or not, I don't know. If it's going to be done over that period of time, I think it's inescapable there are going to be differences. I think given the development that has already occurred, that's not unreasonable. I mean, there are some places where a residential property goes right up to 27th Street, and it may be a very long time before that might ever get replaced. So I don't think we need to have a one-size-fits-all sort of approach to this. And I think that, you know, the timing, you know, obviously over that long span, you know, the economy is going to have its ups and downs. Who knows, you know, what might come into town on either side of the street that might have an influence. Certainly, we've all sought all along. Northwestern Mutual came in, Wheat Franciscan came in. Those were the kinds of things they wanted, and that's the kind of development that was, I think, in a lot of people's minds when they came up with the 27th Street corridor plan. There may be some more of that as the years go by here. But as I say, they, you know, the economy's going to have its ups and downs. You can't necessarily count as State Street or those things. So I think inescapably, you know, whether it's going to be hodgepodge or not, I don't know. Inescapably, there's going to be some variations. I think that is why there should be some, you know, some thought and some planning as the years go by. But I don't think, you know, some variations over that long a stretch is necessarily a bad thing.
I think our complete streets would kind of, if we do that, because you do, once you leave Drexel Avenue, you go south of Drexel Avenue, the whole character changes. And maybe it can be.
I have one question, and I'll make several comments. Jack, the changing width from the multi-use path, what was it like for the now being
promised? I don't think the state's going to let us change the width of the multi-path. I think it's going to have to be 10 feet. I think the committee would like to see it 8 feet, but I don't think the state's going to allow it. I just overheard another conversation of another community who wanted to have it 8 foot, and I heard that they were told they had 10 feet. But cost difference, there isn't a big cost difference between 8 foot and 10 foot trail.
No, I agree. I think the 10 is going to work better for you, especially since you got the right of way. However, it was started out that the way that the price was brought down in half, one of those things was the reduction of that width. So it sounds like that savings may not be there. And I've been absorbing this as I go through and familiar with these types of documents. So that's an observation. The points I would make, and the mayor's made these eloquently and a lot of other people before, this is a big piece of our future. This is $4 billion in anticipated build-out, blah, blah, blah. Do it right. I've seen a lot of these things done wrong. There's a lot of times when you're you try to save money here and there and you end up kicking yourself in the butt. A prime one would be, and I'm not necessarily saying that this is the way it needs to be done, but the lighting here. Now, another part of this big savings was the lighting. I looked at the spreadsheet, not to belittle the numbers, but that pedestrian lighting is a $296,000 item. In a $5 million roadway, doesn't make sense. Now, the answer that's given back is it's real easy to do. We can just put different fixtures in there and it's going to spill light out. If you look at this picture here in your packet, that's what they were trying to show, where here's the street lights and then here's the pedestrian scale lighting. And yeah, you could look at that and say, well, yeah, that's a really nice piece of gingerbread. That's going to cost us $400,000. Let's just forego it. I'll tell you something. And I'm not just saying that this is the way it needs to be done, but using roadway fixtures to illuminate pedestrian ways and sidewalks is a big mistake. They're completely different. What you do, a couple of notes. One is your character. If you go back to the visual preference survey in here, these split fixtures was the fourth most important thing. When people went through the whole ranking, that was the fourth thing that they liked the most in terms of character. So that's telling you something at a cost of, you know, $400,000. Energy consumption, you're now going to take big high bay fixtures up there in the 60-foot range and use them to throw light across the street onto the pedestrian terrace. You're going to use more light, you're going to spend more energy, you're going to create more light pollution, you're going to have spillover lighting, and then yes, there are cutoffs where they can control all of this, but you're going to start to throw vehicular scale lighting onto pedestrian spaces. Some would say, an example, we may have made a mistake down on Lincoln Memorial Drive. When we reconstructed that, I was involved in that from the beginning. The decision was made to go with pedestrian steel harp lights on both sides at about a 15-foot height, which is really pedestrian scale. And the traffic engineers said, that's not real wise, because in order to get the amount of lighting we need on the street, we're going to be spacing maybe 70 feet both sides of the street, a lot more fixtures, more costs. If you've driven down there lately, there's also a tendency for people to drive over and snap them off. But we made that decision because it was, the desire was to keep it much more park-like, which is different than this, but pedestrian scale. And it would be far simpler and cheaper to put in one big pole down the middle of the median with double heads coming off. That could have been the stylish Milwaukee lanterns, which mimic the harps without the arms. But it could have been done nicely. But the point is, you're throwing a lot of light out there where it's not needed. Even if you cut it off, in essence, keep it back, you're going to get spill on your buildings, which messes with the aesthetics there. You start to do a lot of strange things to your plants. All your plants out there are now living in a 24-hour-day photo period. Plants like to sleep, too. And when do the street lights come on? At night. So you're bringing your whole streetscape up to, 10 to 15-foot candles? Very bright. So I think that's something you want to think about. So it has impacts on people and plants in that. It's a small cost, and I think probably the biggest is long-term energy consumption. And so from a green perspective, you don't want to do that. And certainly paying the electric bills. If you can get away with two fixtures, one that only functions to light the street, one that functions to do the pedestrian scale, I think there's a lot of wisdom there. So I would not go to a spreadsheet and say, where can we start chopping things and bring down the cost? Because you're going to find the costs really don't come down. Focus on the character and aesthetics that you want. I think we've all talked about this for years. If you build it right, they will come. We can wait. It should be done right. There are things that can be added later. But we should be real careful about where we start slicing, because there is a bunch of other stuff that can't be eliminated. I mean, it's kind of interesting. One thing that DOT won't pay for is native plantings, okay? And they won't give us credit for rain gardens. And I think I heard Commissioner Fowler say why. See, those are things that cost-wise, we can understand where DOT is coming from. Pick the character. If you don't want native plantings, if you want cut grass, that's fine. But pick what you want and then find ways to trim the design to get that without just lopping off things. Very reckless to say, we're going to take these five biggest things, cut them off, and just live with it. Because what you end up with is an automobile-oriented street that is great for driving on, meets all the federal and state standards, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's the kind of street people drive down and go, what's going on? Or you don't get out of your car. You drive around, you park it in the parking lot. There's nothing friendly about it. And I think the desire has always been to make this not only vehicular accessible, but pedestrian friendly, and a nice space with character. So I don't know what the answers are, but I'm going to caution everybody against making chops here and there. You got to look at what the standards require at a minimum, find the cheapest and best looking way to do that, and don't spend more money on the automobile end. Work on the pedestrian amenities. Work on the planting things. All the beautiful communities, Commissioner Micklin has shown us great visions of complete streets and other places that have done this. We can do the same thing. So we just need to be careful. And now, unfortunately, we're being pushed in a hurry. We've got to play catch-up. We've got to meet with DOT and do it. Meet the deadlines, but I would think long and hard about what gets caught and what is important to the character that we're trying to create. Because long-term, it's going to pay off. A few pennies saved today will be enough for 10 years from now.
John?
So, yeah, I want to echo what Kevin had said. When we look at what they took off the spreadsheet, two of five items are pedestrian-related. And the fifth item, one that just disappeared altogether, is transit shelters. They don't exist anymore. And they were to be decided on the first budget, and now they're not on there at all. And if we're actually talking about an Aerotropolis, getting people back and forth into our commercial district from other commercial districts, now, Oak Creek, they can be ambivalent about this because they will have transit in their Delphi site. They'll make sure that people get there from the airport and be able to get back to the airport.
Subway.
They'll dig a subway. But if we don't have transit taken care of and an accommodating atmosphere for people to stop, linger, park once, walk many times, I don't know how you.
I think they made room for the transit bus, but they didn't say that they would recommend that it be budgeted for, but that space be available, made available for it.
Well, that, I hate to take something like that for granted, because
yep.
There is this Aerotropolis thing. We go to these meetings, and I think we paid some dues and everything. And if it all works out, we got to make it easy for people to get to and from comfortably, spend time, be comfortable with the fact that they can get back to the airport or they can get back to the other community they're in without adding a lot of traffic. And we also want to be consistent with what I hope will be a citywide complete streets effort. So some of these things that the state right now may not be able to agree to, down the road they probably will be able to agree to, lowering some speed limits because it's consistent with a city ordinance, which is consistent with a state law, which is the complete streets thing.
And Kevin Schaefer just handed me your brochure about water initiatives. Right, I just opened it up, and there's complete streets. It's a big part of the water yes. conservation. So things are starting to fit together.
And I'd like to take a little credit for getting Kevin in. Actually look at, and I want to thank John for getting me on Complete Streets, because I'm kind of like you are with water resources.
I'm studying it. I was on the way looking at it.
Really excited about it. But one of the things I want to talk in the Complete Streets that John has passed out, the Trails Committee, I think he's actually passed out the Planning Commission as well. I see 27th Street as a corridor parallel to the I-94 corridor. Now, the I-94 corridor is not going to stay the way it is now as transportation changes. But over the short term, it's going to be there. And the 27th Street corridor, as a branch off of that transportation corridor, is our gateway, or the gateway of a lot of people coming up from Chicago into Franklin. And when I look at what they're presenting to us with these pictures here, and then I look at what we could get with the complete streets look, one, I don't understand why rain gardens are kicked out. Rain gardens, I mean, the medians can go that direction. I think it for our own water resource history and for our water resource future, we would like to have some kind of, whether we get credit for it or not now, we may want to have credit for it later, because I think it could have a great improvement on the water quality and the water resources in Franklin. The second thing is, I agree completely with Kevin about the street lighting. If you look at it, if we want to have an inviting street lighting, you can do it on a busy street with trees there. This kind of lighting, the trees are to be between the street and the pedestrians, not on the backside of pedestrians where the street is. This kind of lighting will not work, because it'd have to go through the trees to get there. You're going to need that low lighting under the tree canopy to have the light. Eventually, that's what you're going to need, because that's a much more inviting. Even with those small trees, if they have 2 to 3 inch caliper, I would have Kevin weigh in on this, but they're going to have a certain height of where their canopy begins, and as they grow, this kind of lighting will not allow to have a safe sidewalk environment. It'll be more shaded, but with those low lights, you get that kind of lighting underneath that tree scape. And I think we want to have that inviting 27th Street streetscape and not become Blue Mountain, which is my fear. We want to do more of that kind of lighting, more of that kind of streetscape. So I'm glad that we're moving forward with this, but I really think we need to do this. We need to do this right, and I get frustrated with DOT. I was very frustrated at the two meetings I attended, where they just didn't seem to be willing to listen to just about anything anybody had to say, other than what they already wanted to hear. And I appreciate that a lot of effort that's gone into this. And I don't want to be a Johnny come lately, but damn it, we should be able to get some of this stuff put in.
Well, remember, these are recommendations moving towards a joint common council meetings. So the recommendations doesn't mean they're in concrete, but at least we have something to discuss with the DOT let's say the deadline would
scale. It was February.
Yeah. And you're sitting there and the two communities have no decision. I mean, if I'm the DOT, I go back to my superiors and say, well, they don't have a plan here. Superiors go, oh, good. And then we'll just move those dollars over to our projects. And 15 years from now, maybe you'll get something done on 27th Street.
But if they take away the money, I take it the money for the rain gardens is from the DOT? Or is that our money that we're putting forward?
The DOT doesn't want to support it.
The DOT, since they aren't going to maintain it, won't use the credits for removal of the particular.
We approach them and say, okay, you know, like the rain gardens, what about stormwater trees? Putting more trees up along, is that going to be a problem for their clear paths? And
we can't put any starting where we have a higher speed limit. All the trees have to be on the far side of the sidewalk.
All right.
If it clears one. So when a car goes off the road, they're not breakaway.
So if we roll this back to the point where we got to get the speed reduced. That's the first thing, which is a complete streets idea.
Yep.
So we we got to get the street.
And the committee has tried to get the continuously.
That's what the way they do it in early Wisconsin. The whole, as you're well aware, the entire philosophy of how things function has changed. Jack had read a book just on 76th Street and his battles with the DOT were late, and Kevin knows. And understand that we have two very, very effective legislators. When we call them, they get right on it, and we do get a response. But even with that, well, you know, it's 76th Street is, we thought it was Milwaukee County. Well, it's the state. And it's way up at 80,000 feet level.
But even, I mean, if you look at this one, this has the trees in the back, and they're closer to the,
they're back off the street.
But, I mean, that's a streetscape.
You can have the trees in the terrace up until Northwestern Mutual, the north line of Northwestern Mutual, where the speed changes. At that point in time, we have to move the trees, have to be behind them.
So none of the median, nothing close between the sidewalk and the road or in the median?
They can be in the median up until Northwestern Mutual, and after that, they can't be in the median.
They have to be breakaway. Well, there can be things in the median.
We can make breakaway trees.
By nature,
they do break.
Two small comments to follow up on. I didn't mention underground utilities. I think is the single most important thing. It's pricey. I know the utilities want to gouge you on it, but I don't think you make a bigger mistake than letting that stuff be out at the street overhead. It jumps up the environment faster than you can believe. Constantly, you'll come down 5 years from now, boxes, new cable drops, all this stuff strung not only down the street, but to your buildings, all your feeds. The single most important thing is get that stuff under. And the costs aren't always as big as they are. You need to talk to the utilities. If they can't be in poles overhead in the right way, they have to go somewhere. A lot of times that's out and back on private property. You can provide easement paths and things for them there, which is really where they should be. So there are ways to bring down the numbers. They scare you up front with a huge cost because, quite honestly, they'd rather have them on poles. They're easier to service, but they belong underground. And then the other thing, just briefly getting back to rain gardens, and I'm not saying there's a solution, but you also have, again, this has to do with present cost versus long-term. We're building a lot of pavement with some parking lots, and that water, that stormwater has to be treated and dealt with. If you don't use alternate technologies, rain gardens, whatever, what do? We're building basins. Where do basins go? On the most expensive real estate in Franklin or Oak Creek. They're enormous gobblers of real estate, and it's price-expensive real estate. You can't build three-story buildings on top of them. You have a hole in the ground that eats up your most valuable real estate, and you can't get away from it. So we should be looking at not only rain gardens but other infiltration techniques, ways to capture, reharvest. There's, again,
storm center infiltration.
Infiltration. If you don't do rain gardens or native plantings in the median, then you're growing grass out there. Then you're putting in irrigation systems and you're watering the grass and you're mowing it. And all your long-term costs skyrocket. So there's ways to be smart. And I think the idea of a road trip makes some sense. And maybe some of those trips should happen at night.
Are any of you familiar with Appleton Avenue, Menominee Falls? Interested in that new road out there? I used to travel it quite often. I think that's very nice, the lighting, all that. But yeah, maybe we should do that. It is the road trip. Also, try and find some places where we're looking at the sidewalks, how the width, what's along there. Or maybe the staff can bring in some slides, but
videos.
I don't know. No, we have a problem with obedience, right?
Can be arranged. Time.
Okay.
The native plantings, like, if we don't strive for biodiversity, but we strive for low maintenance native species, you can do that and make it very cost effective. That over time, the upfront cost is a little higher, the long term cost savings, right? The lack of maintenance is required. It can be huge for a city, particularly as we know these budgets aren't going to get. And again, if you stay away from the drive for biodiversity, but you strive for aggressive native plants, help compete with weed species, actually look nice, have a real nice entrance way in the front, that those medians, those areas that are just going to be mowed, and not going to have a lot of pedestrian traffic anyway, they're just going to be viewed. They do slow down.
Well, when I say I'm happy about this, I'm not necessarily happy about what's in the report, but I am happy that we have some handles on this, and we have something that we'll be able to at least have an intelligent discussion with the DOT over. But the councils, that's something else they said, and, you know, on the Oak Creek side of the street, that's all TIP district. 6 miles, TIP district. That's all, I believe, under the CDA for the community, for the Oak Creek. Our side of the street, all these decisions are under the Common Council. Now, let's say we get real busy. Yeah, all of a sudden, everybody, your brother wants to move to the 27th Street corner. Which is it? The last few days, maybe that's a possibility. We're going to have plan commission meetings, CDA meetings, Forward Franklin Committee meetings, and Common Council meetings. Because all these decisions need to be made like this. Jack's going to be, boy, I got to have the meeting now. Just as you know, we need to know and all that stuff. So I also bring that here because I try to tell people this is equivalent to like 10 business parks.
Well, I don't know B9E, but Oak Creek can kind of afford from their school system standpoint. They can have their TIF district on their side because our side, which is not a TIF district, is paying school taxes to Oak Creek. Is that correct? I mean, I don't want to be naive, but that's what they're doing. So their TIF district may not be paying property tax into the school district, but they know our side will be doing it. It'll be interesting to see what they say if we put our side.
Well, we're getting a little bit off the subject, but there is quite a bit of history as to the involvement of the City of Franklin's Common Council regarding trying to get the school districts to be united. And then there were very clear statements from the Franklin School District as to what they wanted to do about that. Okay, any other? I'm glad that we've got this. Thank you, City Attorney, for getting us this.
Maybe it would be a good idea to get the plan commission together with the 27th Street committee. committee is pretty small. It's a very small committee, and I think there's two members from Franklin, and there's two members from Oak Creek. So maybe we really need, so we're going in a direction that everybody is satisfied with, because they're not getting that input at the meetings. And maybe we should maybe try to get Oak Creek's Plan Commission, a joint meeting of the 27th Street Committee and the Plan Commissions, because I don't think we're getting this kind of input into the 27th Street Committee. And first of all, it's changed so much, they don't even have any history, because we have all new members on the committee now. So they don't have any history to go back. And I'm not a member of the committee. I've sat in on a number of meetings, but I don't make decisions or anything. But I would think it might be a good idea to try to get the two plan commissions together with them, and then that might help unify a recommendation. Because you hate to have the committee make a recommendation to our council, and then have our plan commission say, "Oh no, we really don't agree with that. We want to change things." I think we'd better get together. And we could have a joint meeting of our plan commission on 27th Street, just maybe our side, and then maybe following that, get the plan commission and of the two communities and the committee together. If we could decide what we think together we want, because, for instance, the lighting. I mean, it's the only thing is cost. It surely can be done. The state's not going to care whether we have pedestrian lights or not. I think we have to pay the pedestrian lights, but they don't care. That's fine with them. They have nothing against that. I don't think they care if we have the bioswales. Since they are not going to maintain them, what they're concerned with is if the city gets tired of them and gets rid of them, they still have to have a method of handling their runoff. And they aren't going to maintain them. And they don't want to count them if they're not going to maintain them. So they're building their own, and they have to use, they can't use wet basins because they're within the vicinity of the airport. So they have to use dry basins. So they're going to use some bioswales getting to the basins for their, and they'll have to do a 40% removal. They don't, you know, they don't have to do the 80%. They only have to do 40%. But they will be doing dry basins because of the vicinity of the airport and the geese problems. And they can't use wet basins.
I have another idea, and I'd be bold enough to say maybe it's time to decide if the steering committees, the joint steering committees, have fulfilled their obligations. Maybe it's time to ask both councils to either have their CDA manage it or their plan commission. This thing is going to get fast and furious, and whether there should be things added or not, the costs associated with it is going to be front page news all over the place. I think one other thing, and that's that you may remember that there was a medical complex that wanted to come in right next to Eden Francisco, $70 million complex. Under our current ordinances for 27th Street, they could not come in. Now, the identical structures are on Appleton Avenue, right across the North Shore Country Club. Every time I go by them, I start to cry because they're beautiful. So they might want to take into consideration that the DOT is rolling some things back. I throw this up. Either look at a supermajority vote by the plan commissioners, and you have a project that comes in, or the common council supermajority vote. So that it's not the staff's going, nope, you can't do it, even though it's $70 or $80 million project.
I'm trying to remember, and maybe Joel will know this. Does 27th Street, do the design standards, do they have a transect at all, or is it just uniform straight across?
the design standards are uniform across. The use of it will change. So the plan recognizes that the northern portion will be large box retail, the southern portion will be tall office buildings, and even recognizes that the central part where the subdivisions come up to 27th Street can stay there. So the uses.
And I think that might be the thing that we keep stubbing our toe on, is something that's appropriate for one area of 27th Street isn't necessarily appropriate for another area, and vice versa. Something that you wouldn't think is and doesn't get into the code should be perfectly fine when you're out near the edges. And that's what the transect is all about, is to accommodate things that are out by Wheaton and out in that direction, as opposed to being right in the dense commercial area, which is a whole different thing to deal with. So what would be the procedure to try to introduce a transect to the 27th Street overlay?
Amend the plan and then amend the ordinance.
Oak Creek and Franklin would have to.
But just on that point, I think that's a good one. Just think of 27th and Oakland Road, both sides of the street, the area that's there, and then how far it goes out on both sides. I'm guessing that's pretty close to the size of, like, Shorewood. You know, it's almost an entire town or village that's there. And I think that's the way we need to start looking at this section. In Wauwatosa, they have Wauwatosa East, West, and Central. Right? And I think Franklin needs to start doing it. You two are the historians, but this was really a number of towns,
neighborhoods,
and wasn't it also little villages? What's the little town that's down on 27th and Ryan?
Gainesville,
yeah, and St. Martin's. I think that's maybe what we need to do. We need to put some more identity here, neighborhoods.
And I found like the city of Milwaukee with those.
Yeah.
Small little banners.
Why don't we put that on the agenda, next agenda? And I think we've beaten this to death. Certainly have been given a lot to think about.
Except for one point, is do you anticipate the council? You're going back to your previous point about the 27th Street Steering Committee and perhaps moving the authority to that group. Do you anticipate a council discussion about that? Because I presume the 27th, or Franklin's participation in the 27th Street Steering Committee was at some point approved by the county council. I wouldn't think that could have been done without that. So it would be, if there's going to be a change in that, it would have to be based on council action, I would think. So do you anticipate?
I don't think it's brought up. I haven't really changed my position on that. I think a separate entity should manage 27th Street Corridor. And that, to use your phrase, take as much of the politics out of it as possible. And I think you also would put it this way. I know that you would attract some of the brightest talents in Wisconsin. But they're not going to go through all of the kindergarten foolishness of politics. In fact, I think if you have the politics involved in this, we can put the best plan in the world in place. The likelihood of trying to get it done, I think, is about zip. I'm still working on how you get the chairman off of the plan. Didn't you bring that up like 8 years ago?
No, I'm so comfortable with him and the mayor's chair. I might take off the alderman and reduce the political influence, but I have no problem with that.
Well, we do think differently about how, you know, budget and all that stuff. Staff report on Crossroads trade area plan provisions development potential. No, I just sensitive to your
Okay, you got that. It's a lady power
jam.
We'll find that out soon. My term is up in another week.
What if I could raise money? Be mayor for a day or something. Okay, Crossroads. Mr. Deedle?
I think it was the last Plan Commission meeting where we had touched on this matter before, that the Plan Commission was open to revisiting parts of the Comprehensive Master Plan just to see if it's still appropriate, if we're still on board, if there's any changes we want to make. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm bringing this forward. It's, you know, it's a good idea, and there's always the possibility that things will change in the city, whether it's the budget, whether it's the economy, whether we get specific projects. So it would be always good to know if the plans that we use are still the plans that the Plan Commission and Common Council like. So that's the reasons why this is here. So I gave a brief summary of how we got the Crossroads Plan, got to the Crossroads Plan, and then what the Crossroads Plan has in it as requirements and standards. I should clarify that. As a plan, it's a guideline. It's a guideline within the Comprehensive Master Plan, which is a guideline. Some of the elements in this plan do show up in the ordinances, but almost by happenstance. So, for instance, there is a recommendation that we have a limit on the size of retail buildings, 100,000 square feet in the plan. But we have an ordinance that says 125,000 square feet. So there are some similarities and some differences. But I guess the first thing to mention is it's a plan, so it's a guide. It is adopted by reference in the Comprehensive Master Plan, so it is a guide.
Isn't the 100,000 square foot, isn't that an ordinance that's citywide?
The 125 is just for the B1, B2, B3, and B5.
I was recently corrected. I said 125, and somebody told me, no, it's 100 plus 25.
The plan is 100 plus 25. Okay. The ordinance is 125.
All right, let me put it differently. Let's say a Kia wanted to come into the city of Franklin. That's 300,000 square feet. Can it be built in Franklin?
Yes, if it's in the correct zoning districts.
Right. So there are certain areas that...
B4, 27th Street, go there. Crossroads, no. Civic Center, no. Any of the normal B1, B2, B3s, no.
Hypothetically, Woodman's, what is that, about 300,000, 400,000?
Could be, I'm not sure, but yeah.
So that could only be built in B4?
Yep. Or... I don't think it could be in B7. I don't think it's a permitted use in B7, but the size wouldn't be.
Could it be built in Crossroads?
No.
So only 100,000?
100,000, 125,000 in the Crossroads zoning district, 125,000 in the B1, B2, B3 districts, and B5.
Is that one level or total square footage?
I believe it's total square footage.
That's a problem.
So if we had Boston store or Macy's that wanted to come here, we'd have to say no. To Crossroads. Signature.
It's been a while. It's footprint.
But is it specified?
That's
a problem. What if we get a new story
about
building?
Things now that probably aren't there.
Well, we could have a situation that's right around the corner. Boston stores, that's what comes to mind, or Marshall Fields. Marshall Fields, normal store, the one that's at Mayfair, could that fit in Crossroads? No, Marshall Fields.
I'd have to look. I do have numbers that are old for what the average size stores are, but some of those trends change. I would have to double check what that is.
Could Bayshore? Could Bayshore go in Crossroads?
Most or some of those, the big tenants probably would not fit. They'd be too big. But it's a mixture of big tenants and small tenants. Individual stores that add up are okay. So if you have, that's where they talk about in the Crossroads plan, the principal building has to be 100,000 square feet or less. They can have the outliers that are built on the periphery, even attached to it. So you can have a Michaels next to a Home Depot. As long as Home Depot is less than 100,000 square feet, that would be okay. And then you could have additional buildings attached to it.
The buildings that John brings forward, the ones that are down in your Summerfest, the new ones where they have the pizzeria below it, balconies over the river, would that be permissible in Crossroads?
I would say that if the second floor was a different owner, I would think they could. So if it was, yes, different retail, different office on the second floor, I think they could.
I guess the question is that I think I was in the audience when the Crossroads plan came in. I was not an elected official at the time. But I watched it from the audience, and I watched it when Walmart was over at the library, and you had 500 people at the library. It seems that the Crossroads plan and the Walmart plan came up simultaneously. Now, I dealt with Brian Cummings and Shops of Legend Creek, and I dealt with the other property owners in that area about trying to do something in harmony. And this plan didn't seem to fit. It doesn't seem to be a plan that makes different property owners come together. That's what I experienced firsthand.
I would say there's nothing specific in here that tries to achieve that. If there's things in here that prohibit that or discourage that, I would have to think about that some more. Clearly, they don't say anything about trying to encourage property owners to compile their efforts or compile their properties into some consolidated project. Yeah, there's nothing in the Crossroads plan that says that.
Make the plan work with him because it crosses lot, has streets crossing, lot lines, access changed around. So while it doesn't say it, you'd have to. I mean, I'm thinking on the corner where the dental clinic is. I mean, that the dental clinic would receive access from internal. It would be eliminated from Loomis Road. But that whole thing would have to be put together by somebody to make that thing work. So it doesn't say it, but I think in between the lines it would have to be.
You don't want to have one portion in one way. I don't think it works. I don't think Crossroads plan works.
And they were even considering changing the zoning from B2. Civic Center, because the Civic Center allows them to share landscape surface ratio. Crossroads plan doesn't. So that's an example where if we wanted to encourage property owners to work together on a bigger development, we would allow them to share things like landscape surface ratio. Where right now we require 35% landscape surface ratio for every single parcel. Everybody has to meet it. But with Crossroads, but with Civic Center, they could share. So somebody could have 20% and somebody had 40%.
What's the process to get the Crossroads plans changed?
Now, the Crossroads is just a zoning district, like the B1, B2, B3. But it goes back to the old 1992 plan that divided the city up into neighborhoods, and it identified that whole triangular area bounded by Drexel, Lewis, and Highway 100. That whole area with some of the outlying areas around the as the Crossroads or the Civic Center neighborhood. So that zoning category, which is adopted in the UDO, was envisioned in the old plan to only apply to this part of the city. So we got a zoning district, CC zoning district, that has all these standards, 125,000 square foot retail box limit, sharing of LSR, smaller setbacks from property lines. That's in the zoning district. So there's two ways we could do it. We could amend the current comprehensive master plan and just say that we want that civic center idea from the old comprehensive plan to apply to a larger area. Or we could amend the Crossroads plan to change it to be like the civic center standards.
We've had a lot of people, parties that have been interested in those corners. Not a single one has been able to do anything. So I guess I would start with, it's a nice plan, but is its foundation in reality? Is it something that actually can be achieved? Is it engineering wise? Is it something that can be put in place? Every time property owners come in with development proposals, first thing you run into is the wetlands. And the DNR shuts them down immediately. Shops at Legend Creek, as I understand it, we really don't know why they went away. But there are major wetlands on that property. So does that plan take into account all of the wetland issues? Well, then it's like Fantasia.
Unless we can get the DNR to move, because the city has processes in place. We allow mitigation.
DNR's not, I mean, we've dealt with the DNR. DNR's not. Unless the state legislature changes, but that's, you need to have a plan that's based on reality. Now, I mean, you have wetlands. You have a Walgreens that's already there. You have the DOT's design is in. In fact, is that plan representative of the DOT's road plans?
It's close. They tried, but it's old. But they tried to get what the DOT was going to do. So it's I think it's close.
And who's advocating to keep? Put it this way, who has advocated to keep that plan?
Nobody in particular.
I don't know of anyone. So.
Well, that plan was defensive in nature. Go back a little bit of the history here. The comprehensive plan, master plan prior to the present plan, divided the city up into neighborhoods, and unfortunately, in a lot of cases, it did it along the major thoroughfares. So you had at that time, places on opposite sides of the street with deviant different planning districts. Crossroads Trade Area was really a step away from that, where it looked at the whole area there and tried to put together a plan, but the Crossroads Trade Area plan was a defensive plan. I mean, and part of the reason the size of it was in there was to keep Walmart from coming in. I don't know that it was an intended consequence to prevent landowners from coming together, but the Walmart deal was that they had a range there, and in fact, I just printed this off within the last few days. This still shows seven parcels there. They had a range to, with all the seven property owners, to essentially acquire it all and assemble it and put together their deal. Like I said, I don't think there was any intent to prevent property owners from working together, but this was definitely a defensive plan to prevent Walmart from coming in there.
Well, that's your opinion.
Well, that's my opinion, but I was there at the time, so, and recalling the comments at the time and so forth. And so that was a driving force behind this plan being put together. It served that purpose. It accomplished that purpose. That purpose having been accomplished, yeah, I don't know that it necessarily has a lot of defenders now. Frankly, I think the direction to staff should be that, yes, that plan has been adopted. It is the one that's on the books, but we would certainly be willing to work with anybody who would bring in a viable plan that would be realistic and would fit, given, as you pointed out, the wetlands and the DNR's position on wetlands and so forth. Also, I recall at a previous meeting, I thought one of the reasons this was on the agenda was because we were anticipating some DOT impact as they do reconstruction of Highway 100 in the coming years. I haven't heard that, the impact of what that would be, but that would be another. I thought perhaps that was something that we were going to discuss here, and do we have to make changes to the Crossroads Trade Area Plan because of highway impacts that are weren't considered then but are now anticipated to be coming. But broadly, I think the direction of staff really should be, yes, this plan is the one that's currently on the books, but, yeah, I don't know that there's anybody who's really firm in saying, no, we have to find some way to build this. I don't know that it's ever been, perhaps in the minds of some people, but I don't think broadly it's ever been in the mind of, well, this is what it's going to be, and now we just need somebody to come and build it. I think it was a plan that was largely defensive in nature. Yes, it did. You know, I don't mean, the motivation was, to do it was defensive. The assembly of the plan, the work of PDI to put it together, the public hearings they held, the information they gathered. You know, once we got past the defensive purpose for starting it, the plan itself, I think, was a good faith effort to come up with what people at the time thought would be an attractive and valuable development in this location. It obviously hasn't gone forward. And for who knows what the reasons for that might be. And there might be a variety of them, but it is still the plan that's on the books. I think that the direction of staff should be that, yes, it is on the books, but we are certainly open to modification of it if somebody brings in a reasonable, practical, workable, attractive, you know, proposal that would add value to the community. This is one of those things that isn't set in stone and could be changed. I think realistically, I don't think it's likely that what's there is actually going to get built. So I think the presumption is, you know, that when something attractive comes along, we can make the necessary changes.
So is it consensus of the staff that this is a guide?
I believe so.
Okay.
I
sort of remember it was adopted as part of the Conference of Master.
As an element, yes. But the whole Conference of Master.
So it can be changed. It's not.
And it should be flexible. I mean, Jesse probably remembers the wording better than I. But it's not cast in stone. We can interpret the recommendations of the plan broadly, just that and so they're not in conflict. I forgot what the exact terminology was.
John, Dave.
I think. I've said this before, perception is reality, and the perception out there, and I think among developers as well, I had a developer talking at the Forward Franklin meeting about how there's a plan in place at the Crossroads. Why aren't we incentivizing? Why aren't we acting on this? There are plans in place, and he put them in the packet. And I remember wanting to comment at the time, I don't think that's a plan. I think my perception was, it was a defensive measure. It did its job, but now it lingers there. And I spent time. I filled pages with things that are wrong with this site plan. The language is fine. The language is great. If you read the survey results they got and everything, all that's fine. But then when it gets down to it, you know they stamp something down in there, and you couldn't build it. It's not. It doesn't take into account wetlands or anything like that. I mean this. If we were to say there's a Crossroads trade area or civic area, this might be the place where instead of making it a zoning issue, it's a form-based issue. If you're going to build here, whether it's office, commercial, or apartment, it's going to look this way, and you're going to have a build-to line instead of a setback. But right now, we have people in the development community who believe there is a site plan for the Crossroads, and I hope this isn't a site plan for the Crossroads.
Well, the last thing is, and I've looked at that too, and I think if you go down to Lake County and you see where they also have tremendous numbers of wetlands and they've built some beautiful business parks, by allowing them the flexibility to go up, not to go out, and I don't think the Crossroads takes into account the wetlands, and I think if you know those wetlands are there, we don't know if we want to develop those wetlands because that leaves us with stormwater and flooding problems perhaps down the road. But to change the plan to make it flexible enough to work with the wetlands, you can make a beautiful development.
You can make a nice business and retail area and perhaps multiple housing, retail, business area with those wetlands in place, and it adds as an amenity the property value stay high.
You know, there was a very wise individual that lives in Franklin that said to the mayor of Franklin, after, of course, the decision had already been made, and maybe what you want to do with these types of properties is you want to start with the natural resources, and then you want to face your developments towards those wetlands, and then actually use them to enhance the property. And I don't think that this plan does that at all. It just does the opposite. And so I agree with what Dave's saying, too, is that there's a lot of places in this world where they have wetlands that they have used it to their advantage.
And I get tired of the false fight that's going on right now in Madison over the new wetland. It's not jobs versus wetland. That's a false argument. They both can be very, very useful together. It's only when someone wants to get certain groups that want an advantage in that battle about resources versus the job, where they're perceiving. It doesn't have to be. You can have both. And usually when you do it right, you get both, and you get high property values as well. But well, preserving that natural resource.
On the other side of the street, because we always usually only concentrate on the illusion of the side of the street. On the other side of the street, there's a gas station. The gas station been there forever. I'm only assuming this. I have no foundation for it. I'm going to guess that there's some problems with that land. Absolutely. And whoever comes in there is going to have some major problems. So does that plan, does the Crossroads plan take those problems into consideration? And if you go just by the dental clinic, there's a large, what the DNR would call wetland. Okay, does the Crossroads plan take that huge wetland in the country?
Yes.
They do. Okay. Yes. Well, there's a plus. But, and then the where the used car lot is, where the kite guy and the pool guy is, right behind here, there's big wetland issues. So, why am I spending so much time on this? Because I can't tell you how many people have said, that's where we got to build the sense of community. Got to build it there. That's the place that's going to be the crossroads of the city.
Yeah, no, I always say downtown. That's the downtown area.
The
area?
Yeah. That's what you
think. I've seen the survey map, though. I know whose name is on the property.
I would think it would be from, that would be the outskirts of our downtown. Our downtown should be closer to where
we are
right now.
Well, I think the timeliness of this discussion could not be better, and would not surprise me at all if we had some major issues regarding this area in the near future.
I wouldn't call them wetland issues or wetland opportunities. Sorry.
Well, I think the Plan Commission really should, it's up to you, I think you should move this item more towards the forefront. Is that a viable plan? What do you want to recommend to the Common Council, the new Common Council, regarding the Crossroads plan? Before you may have some developments coming in here.
I'd be willing to make a motion that the Planning Commission make a recommendation to the Council to the effect of reevaluating the Crossroads plan. Would that be too bold, or is that too...
Commission can go any way it wants to. I think because of what we cited here, because of the wetland issues, yes, I think we can look forward to some development in this area. I think downtown is going to be 76 and Ross. I think well off into the future, farther south down 76, probably at 76 and Ryan, or even farther south from there, there'll be someday a commercial center of some sort as the South County and the Racine County areas develop. I think there'll be an opportunity for one there. This, because of the proximity of the wetlands and the residential development that's already there and so forth, yeah, there'll be some commercial development here, but I don't think it's likely ever to rise to the level of anything more than a sort of smaller downtown area. I don't think it's going to rise to the level of, and this is just, you know, my perception here, as the
someday find that the south down 76th Street. If the staff has the time and wants to put the effort into it to, you know, come up with their own plan for a crossroads charity area, I suppose that's all right. I still think at this point I would see the direction of staff would be, yeah, that's the plan that's on the books, but we would certainly want to be flexible and be willing with anybody who comes in with any kind of serious development effort to give them full consideration, full discussion, and if it's different from what's there, we're willing to consider different from what's there. And that, I think, saves the staff from trying to come up to with a different plan. I would be cautious about, say, maybe piecemeal pulling things down because you don't know what doors that might open. I think what we've got there, if there's a perception out there in the community that this is, you know, all specced out and all we're looking for is somebody to come in and design and build it, yeah, I think perhaps we ought to do something to overcome that. It's that perception that I think we ought to deal with. It's not, I don't think we need to rush to having a different plan or start piecemeal pulling this plan apart. I'm just willing to say let staff work with whoever comes in, whoever owns the land or wants to, you know, put forward a serious proposal. Certainly, let's consider it. I don't think we're, this is not cast in stone, not set in concrete, can be changed. It is a guide, but that's all. And if we find something that's better comes along, and different people are going to have different views as to what better is, but we can use, multiple standards of better. Let's not treat this as if, and if anybody has the notion that this is fixed, this is firm, this is the only thing we'll really consider, then certainly my direction to staff would be, no, that is not the message, that's not what we want to do, we want to demonstrate a great deal more flexibility than that.
Yeah, and I think the one thing it has, the thing that we need to keep in mind is that we do have the cross streets that cross Loomis, cross Highway 100, and that we have agreed to the state that they would allow that. That possibly could have a signal in the future. So the problem is always going to be if you move one side of it, you're going to have to move the other side. So we got, at least we have something that we can look at, and now you can see, if we move one quadrant of the street, how does it affect the other quadrant? And how does it work out? How does it serve the parcels that are there? But I agree with it. I think, have somebody better it. But it all has to fit together, all those four quadrants. Cross streets have to fit together, and the state won't allow us offsetting those cross streets, or you're going to have these dog legs, which are terrible traffic problems. They won't allow it. So,
how do pedestrians get across?
Well, if you have a traffic signal, you would have a crosswalk.
Right now?
Oh, not now, but in the future.
They don't have them, because I haven't seen them. I mean, you're doing 55 miles an hour.
But if you have a signal, you'd have a crosswalk, just like we do on
Drexel. Yeah, but again, I don't see anything that would preclude what everybody said here from having a reevaluation. I'm not talking about replacing the crosswalk plans, but just to reevaluate and to put on notice that we are reevaluating this. And so, if there is the perception out there that there is a plan, it's being reevaluated to take into consideration the realities on the ground today.
I would ask you to rescind the first motion.
Well, I haven't made a motion yet. I just was offering it.
Well, I have a suggestion. It's that the Plan Commission has reviewed the report from staff and agrees that the crossroad plan is a guideline. Nothing more than that.
Second.
The move is seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those favor,
I don't know if this is, I think the ordinance for the retail box size. Do we want to do some more looking into that one? Would we be comfortable changing that number or getting rid of it entirely?
Well, the motion, if you disagree with the motion, then you should vehemently fight it. Right now we're saying that staff told us that this is a guideline. We agree. Guideline is, guideline's a big difference.
But we could save an applicant some time, because what I'm reading this is to say that they're flexible on the box size too. But then we got an ordinance that says there's a limit, there's a cap. Now we added another step for an applicant to go through if they wanted to build something bigger than that.
Well, right now we got a motion on the floor.
That's kind of a good start. And I would encourage pursuing that through informal discussions with the aldermen and get some sense of their willingness to that, because there are still some aldermen sitting who were involved at the time and might have strong views on it. So it would be a good base to touch, little input on that. But if there is a sense among the common council that they'd be willing to be flexible on that, then certainly if a proposal came in, that's a point that I would be willing to be flexible on. And that fits within just the motion here now that this is guidelines, and we could treat that as such, and if the time comes, then we could change the ordinance. But I would encourage you to seek out some direction from individual to see what their sense is.
Yeah, where I'm going with this motion is to let the common council know that the plan commission of the city and the staff of the city sees the Crossroads plan as a guideline, not something that is set in stone. I think there's a very large difference. Mr. Wiselaw?
Well, you brought up this as a guide. Actually, if you remember, it's been 10 years where your ordinances had to be consistent with the comprehensive master plan, which meant everything had to match. Theoretically, it would be a nightmare. And right at the 10th year, the legislature came out and said, no, it's a guide. And amended it, because I spoke on that at the State Bar, I believe, in June 2010. So the motion really simply states the fact that the law is a guide, and perhaps the motion might be to direct staff to incorporate into the minutes plan commissioners' comments following the planning manager's statement to them that the plan is a guide, which would include Mr. Ritter's recommendation that the plan is definitely a guide, and that staff should keep an open mind and work with potential new development, because there are issues as discussed at the plan commission, and that there are different and better forms of development which may not be addressed in this plan.
Well, it doesn't make a motion. That was made to
incorporate that.
Okay. Who's the second? Mr. Ritter incorporates it as well. Right. On the motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, please have it. Motion carries. The status of mayoral ad hoc development review. We can talk to the city attorney about when he gets around to it. He doesn't have 5,000 important issues. That to abolish that mayoral ad hoc development review process, or remove the remaining duties and responsibilities to the Fort Franklin Committee. And I think they've now been made aware of that. Comprehensive master plan. Only that council level last time made a report under the mayor's report and gave them all the different things that had been approved by the plan commission and other things. What was it? It came up to like $87 million over the last 3 years or something. Something like that. And that mission statement of the city was reaffirmed by the current common council, which is still to achieve the 70-30 goal. And the comprehensive master plan, the main focus of that is also to achieve the 70-30. And when you look at why did we do Tickner, why did the city do Tickner and R.A. Smith, it was for one reason only, and that was to try and change the tax base in the Franklin School District. And that's also the main reason. reason for trying to acquire the Rhine Creek Interceptor, which Rhine Creek Interceptor and Achievement of 73rd year are hand in hand with being together. But it's important. It's amazing the amount of information that we take for granted that everybody knows. They really don't. It's like the first Tickner report. I have no idea the first Tickner report was out. Okay, and Charles Quinn?
Just to reiterate, we did make the recommendation on 51st Street, which Jack presented. Second, we're going to be going to the council at some point with Planning Commission. I don't know if we get approval from the Planning Commission, but we want to go to the council and discuss with them the idea that we are going to be going out and talking to other groups, such as the Public Works and others, about our complete streets ideas. And we want to just get their approval to expand the idea that our grants committee that they had given us previous approval for, the complete streets is just really an extension of how we might go about improving our chances to get grants, improving our chances of talking with the state, DOT, and the county when they're putting new roadways through, that we have a little more leverage. I think this 27th Street corridor is a real good evidence of the fact that if we had complete streets, we might have a little more leverage with them on some of the things we want. So,
Nick, I think that's going to be at the next council.
The second council.
Second in February. So, okay. If there's any discussion from that from the Planning Commission.
Anything further? Anything from you, Jack?
No.
Motion to adjourn?
Second.
Second. Move and second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. There is a, I don't know if the invitation went out to the plan commissioners, but there's a Chamber of Commerce event where all the award winners used to be many years ago that members